Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen. Hey, all right. Welcome again. Hey, shalom, shalom, family. Grace and peace, grace and peace.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, Israelite.
Hey, shalom.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. What? Hey, welcome to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters and Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, here on a Wednesday night edition with my brother, Comey Swanson, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a. Little Israel of the Nation of Peace. Out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing what?
That kingdom
state of mind.
That kingdom state of mind. Tonight, y'all. Tonight, y'all getting the program, right? Y'all getting the program, and those of y'all that don't know what the program is, you need to sit down, grab you a little water, grab your cup of coffee. Open up your book, grab your notebook and paper so you can understand this instead of trying to speak against this, right? Okay, so with all of that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother, Nakomi Swanson. Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom. Shalom, everybody. Shalom, everyone at the sound of my voice. Do I have a reader?
Shalom, bro.
Okay. Well, people, we're going to get started without no delay. I said all the brothers face the east and cover your heads. All sisters face the east and cover your heads. Brother Isaiah, bring a reading of your choice, and we're going to get started with the lesson.
Amen, amen, amen. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are rising up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with me that uphold my soul. You shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye have seen his desire upon mine enemies. The reading was taking place from the book of Psalms, chapter 54, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Can we have Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 as I start our lesson to be in line with the former prophets in Christ?
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means we're supposed to be getting prepared for the coming of Christ in the kingdom of God. Verse 3, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's for the people that's in the work of the Lord and the people of the Lord. We're supposed to be making a clear, agenda-free path with the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So as Brother Joe said at the top, the lesson today is Purim. And I know not all of us do Purim. But me, I came in being an Israelite, and I've always had it for my going on 19 years as being an Israelite. And most of us, when you become an Israelite, you probably what most of us are not born in it. And you learn these things. And what this is, as far as me, it is the history of my people. And I have done the things of other people's thing, I mean, the holidays and the stuff that I used to do in the world before I knew I was an Israelite. So this is something that my people did. This is something I'm embracing this because this is part of my life. This is part of me. This is part of my real culture. This is a real part of me because I'm a Hebrew Israelite. This is my history of my people. So I don't even understand why some Israelites even try to fight against something with historical reverence and relevance, and it's in the Bible. I could see if some of you Israelites that don't believe in the apocryphal was fighting against this, if you didn't believe, okay, you just don't believe it. But it being in the King James Version side of the Bible, it's being on this side of it, that they have a problem with it, it amazes me. But me, this is, I'm saying this Friday at sundown, I'm going to be doing Purim. And then Purim is exactly a month before Passover. So I'm going to be doing Purim because it's a preparation for the Passover. This is no 40-day Lent thing. This is something God has actually put on the calendar, and it lines up in that way. So with that, people, we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Esther because that's where Purim is. So we're going to try to get through all nine chapters of the book of Esther, and we're going to break it down with some other scriptures, but we're going to get into that. So, Brother Isaiah, let's go into Esther 1:1. Book of Esther 1:1.
The book of Esther, chapter 1:1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of the houses that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to the king Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Agagtha, Zephtha, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that serve in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. to bring Vashti the king, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burnt in him. The king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shartha, Abnatha, Tarshish, Maris, Marcena, and Mamukan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which set the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Mamukan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen had done not wrong to the king only, but also to all the princesses and all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia.
Stop. So we're seeing how the door was open for Esther to come in and to be queen, because King Ahasuerus' first wife, Queen Vashti, she didn't listen. And they said because she listened, and as we're reading what he's reading right now, he said, if you let this go, he said, verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. And so he said, and this guy said, okay, all the other ones that you king bastard, listen to the king. Well, I got to listen to you. If he just let this go, if he just let her do this and don't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get some more scriptures connected to that. But yeah, I'm saying, so this thing, he went to the wise men and said, hey, what are we going to do about this? Because people, this is a serious offense, because we're going to go through some other scriptures and show you. But read on.
18. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto the king's princes, which had heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree...
Listen. He said, go give somebody... He said, he's going to take her estate and give somebody better than her. So listen, and he said, among the laws of the Persians and of the Medes. But let's see if this lines up with the law of God. Let's see if King Ahasuerus was going off by getting rid of King Vashti because she wouldn't listen to him. So, Brother Isaiah, we're going to jump out of this for a second and go into... Let's get Genesis 3 and 16. Keep something there and Esther, because we're going to be there all night. But we got some other scriptures to bring this more and more clear. Okay, was the king of house was out of order with, was he out of order for doing this? Was he not lined up with the God of Israel? So let's go into Genesis 3 and 16.
The book of Genesis 3 and 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
See, stop. Now he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, the king, he asked the queen to come before him and before the people, and she said, I ain't going to do that. He's the husband also, so he has rule over her, because you wouldn't do that, would you? If your boss, I'm saying, and saying people respect their boss more than their husband. They respect them things more than their own husband. Because if your boss said, I need to see you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to show up. You're going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
But you would disrespect your husband. I ain't got to listen to you. I show up when I... What? But so we got to understand that she was out of order. Yeah, even though this was it with the Persians, guess what? This line up with God. Let's get some more of that. Brother Isaiah, do you have your Apocrypha?
Locked and loaded.
Okay, let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 25 and 26. See, let's see if he was wrong for letting her go because she wouldn't listen.
Okay, you said Ecclesiasticus chapter 25, verse 26?
Yes, sir.
All right, amen. 26. If she go not as thou wouldest have her, cut her off from thy flesh and give her a bill of divorce and let her go.
What that? Hey, did y'all understand what y'all was just saying? Say, if she go not as thou wouldest have her, cut her off from thy flesh and give her a bill of divorcement and let her go. So guess what? King Ahasuerus is on point. King Ahasuerus is on point. He's not out of order with the God of Israel. Well, see, this happens today in the Western world because most men are scared. If their wife threatens, she's going to threaten to leave or something if I try to be the head of my household and ask her to do things. I ain't saying this is not no slavery things. Women be getting all their feelings when they hear stuff like this. But, no, it's not like that. But your husband is the appointed head of God. So it wasn't no problem with him letting her go. Brother Isaiah, let's go to Proverbs 31:10. Let's go to Proverbs 31:10. Because you know what I'm saying? Is it wrong that King Ahasuerus went and got him another woman because she wasn't listening?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's saying we're going to cover all the bases with King Ahasuerus. Okay, was it wrong for King Ahasuerus to kick her to the curb because she didn't listen and get somebody else better than she?
The book of Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good.
He said, if you got a virtuous wife, he said, the heart of the husband doeth safely trust her. You can trust in your woman. You know your woman got your back. She got your best interest. So that he have no need. Spoil means getting another woman. It ain't going to be no, I'm saying, if I can trust in you, my best, you got my best interest. I got your back, you got my back. Ain't no reason, I'm saying, if you're a man, got some sense in your head, ain't no reason to be looking left and right for nobody else. Ain't no reason to be trying to do anything else if you got that kind of woman in your life. So we got to understand that if you got that kind of woman in your life, then yeah, I'm keeping my woman that's on my side. But when she show you that she ain't, I'm saying he didn't ask her to do nothing hard. He just told her show up, just to be seen. She the queen, so we know he wasn't asking her to come and clean the castle up or nothing like that. You got people for that. So she wasn't doing. That's what I'm saying. She got. You're saying that sometimes people get in positions, get full of themselves. You're a queen. Okay, all he asked you is show up. It ain't like you was going to have to go do something hard when you got there. But like I'm saying, so it shows me that King Ahasuerus, he was not out of line with God. So with that, Brother Isaiah, let's get back to the story. Let's get back to Esther, and like I said, I believe we have verse 20.
20. Yes, sir. The book of Esther, chapter 1 and 20. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the same pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Mahukah. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people.
Okay.
The book of
Second Esther. That's chapter 1, people. We're going right into chapter 2. We're going right into chapter 2. So go ahead, Brother Isaiah. You was already doing it, but read on. 2 and 1.
Amen. But that's to chapter 2 and 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the woman, into the custody of the Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the woman, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he said, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away from Jericho, Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's houses, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maiden's turn was come to go in to the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the woman, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the woman.
Stop, people. We got to pay attention to this right here. This woman is saying, people be just accepting anything. These women walk around here with pajamas and shower caps on. We supposed just to accept that. But look what this woman did. She getting ready to meet a man. She's going to say, 12 verse 12, now when every maid's turn was to come to go unto the king Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, of so were the days of her purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh. Okay, she'd been dipping that body in that oil of myrrh, but that skin was beautiful. And 6 months in sweet odors, and with other things to the purifying of the woman. I'm saying, they're saying all kinds of sweet odors. No, that girl smelled good. She presented herself looking good, smelling good. That skin was nice. Her smell was glorious. She was preparing for her king. Your man is your king. You said she was preparing for her man. Well, the man, she's trying to get this man to be her man. She wasn't just going to be looking and smelling like any damn thing. Saying, if you want the best, you got to be your best yourself. If you just want anyone, then it don't matter how you look and smell and all that, okay? If you just going to settle for whatever come across your table, then that's a different thing. But she's trying to go to the height of heights. Got to be on that. But read on.
13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the woman unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the woman to the custody of Ashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubine. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the woman, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus into his house, royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast.
Stop. So the kind of woman she was, in 10 years 17, it said, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So, like I'm saying, when you go above and beyond, you got to understand good things going to happen for you. You're going to get favor when you bring your first and your best. But let's get one scripture to show you that these things can do something for you. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 16. Yeah, we're just going to jump over for that, and we're coming right back.
You said Proverbs 18 and 16?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The book of Proverbs 18 and 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men.
See that? See, a man or a woman, it said your gifts make room for you and bring you before great men. See, that can bring, saying your gifts can bring you before great people. But you got to be doing your best. You got to be giving the best effort. You got to show them something above and beyond everyone else. I'm pretty sure Esther had great manners, and she was speaking well and being very professional and things of that sort. Saying so, you gotta understand that she got favor. She got favor because of that. But let's go back to the book of Esther and continue in chapter 2, and I believe we at verse 18.
The book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all the princesses, the princes and his servants, even Esther feast, and he made a release to the province and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet shown kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandments of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door with wrath, and sought to lay hands on the king on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's names. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king.
Stop. So here we see, and I love this narrative of this story, and people need to read it, because when you talk to a lot of women, some of them Christians and stuff, and they be talking about they want to preach and stuff, and they be like, what about Esther? Yeah, she got a book in the Bible, but as we're seeing, she's in order, because whose instructions is she taking? Is she doing things on her own? No. She's taking instructions from her uncle. Her uncle Mordecai is counseling her and telling her things and telling her what to do. So that's what I'm saying. She didn't get no big head and start, even when she married the king and said she didn't want to listen to the person that raised her anymore. She still listened to her uncle Mordecai, who because her father's dead, that's her father now. She wasn't preaching in no pulpit or nothing like that. She just was getting things. She was able to get things done with how she, because she had got a position. She didn't get that position. Saying, man, forget my uncle Mordecai. Man, I'm up in the palace right now. Forget Uncle Mordecai. Step away from me with that. See, she didn't get too big for her uncle. She still took the counsel of her elder, her uncle. So that's a beautiful thing to see right there. That even though you might get a position, guess what? I'm still gonna listen to somebody that taught me. So I'm gonna say, okay, I'm a queen now. So his wisdom ain't good enough for me. No, his advice ain't no good now. Just because you done moved up, you're oh, Mordecai, man, ain't what you got to say, ain't nothing no more now. I'm all good. See, she didn't think like that. That's why I'm saying when you see these things, you understand why the Most High in Christ chose her to be in this position. She deserved to be in this position. And she's doing it, and why she deserved to do it? Because she's doing it in order. She's not getting out of order. And that's a lovely thing. So we got to understand that she's staying in order with God. And she's not disrespecting somebody that raised her just because she moved up in the world. But let's go right into chapter 3, Brother Isaiah.
The book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and said, After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai.
Stop. So because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman got upset about that. He got upset because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. But Mordecai, he an Israelite. He just ain't going to do it. He just ain't going to do that. So this Haman got upset that now, he said, you know what? It ain't going to be good enough for me just to destroy him. He said, guess what? I'm going to destroy all his people that's like him. He said, I'm going to destroy all the Jews because of him. So read on.
Verse 7. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Purim, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written.
So Haman, he went to tell him and said, these people, they got their own laws and diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king to profit to suffer them. So he said, why are you dealing with them? They ain't trying to do what you say, man. They got their own laws. They ain't trying to do it. Said, what good is to have them if they not going to, you know, do everything the way they supposed to? But read on.
Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the thirteenth day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even unto the thirteenth day of the 20th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. To post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed.
Okay, so right now the king is agreeing with Haman to destroy us. But read on. Now we got a problem, and look, we're going to see how we deal with this problem. But read on. We're in chapter 4 now.
4:1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So as his maids and her chamberlains came and told it her, then was the king exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave a commandment to Mordecai to know where it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces to know whatsoever, whether man or woman shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai,
Stop. So King Esther, she requested of her uncle to go deal with the king. And she's saying, if you go to the king and he ain't called you, he said he can kill you. Unless he hold out his golden scepter to you, he said then he'll deal with you. But he said if he ain't asked to see you, it's possible death. So she was willing to die to help her people in this act. So but read on.
Verse 12, and they told Mordecai Esther words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bathed and returned Mordecai this answer: go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him.
Stop. So look, they finna go on a fast. And we're going to see what a fast is, because some people think you can drink water and stuff like that, and if we only eat so much, this is a fast. But it says in 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. So it's not eating and drinking is a true fast. So let's get another scripture to back up. If a true fast is not eating or drinking. So with that, Brother Isaiah, let's go into Jonah 3 and 5, the book of Jonah 3 and 5, to get this, see if I'm saying if they agree.
The book of Jonah chapter 3 and 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a feast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set him in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast have a herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented it of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
So now, God turned from these people because they took on a fast. But let's see what kind of fast did they take on. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. So the fast, this lines exactly with Esther. A true fast is not eating nothing and not drinking anything. That is a true fast. So he was talking about a true fast here. I'm just showing you how we're saying, because some people say there's other things you can do when you call yourself fasting. So we got to understand that. But let's continue. Let's continue, Brother Isaiah. So let's go back to Esther. And we're going into
verse 5.
Chapter 5.
The book of Esther, chapter 5 and 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in the hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for them. Then the king said, cause Haman to haste, that he may do as Esther said. So the king of Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then Asa asked and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in thy sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king have said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai, the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared by myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate. Then says Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon, and then go thou in merrily when the king unto the banquet, and the king pleased Haman and the cause the gallows to be made.
Now y'all see this. He went home and told him all this promotion he got, and he only thing he care about is that this dude won't bow down to him. He talking about all the riches and all the things the king finna give him. He concerned about some dude that won't bow down to him. He can't be happy with his promotion without that. That's an ego. That's a real big ego right there. Doesn't it tell you pride comes before the fall? That's a lot of pride. That's a lot of pride in yourself that you getting a promotion and you ain't happy with your promotion because somebody won't bow down to you. But we're gonna continue. Chapter 6, Brother Isaiah.
Amen, chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthanah and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the doors, was sought to lay hand of the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to thy... To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And
stop,
Haman answered
stop,
the king.
Stop. So here goes pride again. He thinks the king is going to do something for him, but the king is going to do something for Mordecai for telling about these people trying to plan to kill the king. So the king wanted, he said he wanted to bless his brother. He wanted to make it good with his brother. But Haman thinking he's talking about him. Well, read on.
And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princesses, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel.
Stop. All the things that he said he wanted to happen, he got to do this. He got to set the whole situation up for Mordecai to be honored in this way. What he wanted, Mordecai gonna get it. He gotta make it all happen. Read on.
Then took Haman the apparel at the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the house gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wife Men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And while
so
they were
that?
Yet
So you see that, okay. If this is what's happening, you need to slow your roll, man. This is serious. He said he's gonna probably prevail against you. But read on.
And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had prepared.
Okay, let's go right into 7.
7:1. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, and it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to be perished. And if thou been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not contravail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that doest presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace, guarded, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace, guarding into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then was the king will he forced the queen also before me in the house. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face, and Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified.
Stop. So now look, the tables done turned, people. This is why you shouldn't be tripping on people, because the tables could turn on you. I'm saying, so we got to understand that. Brother Isaiah, let's go to Matthew's chapter 7. Let's go in Matthew's chapter 7, because 7:1. Because he said he planned on hanging him. Well, let's see what's up with that. That's saying you shouldn't be so quick. You want something to happen to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this. Matthew's chapter 7 and pick it up at the 1.
Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
See, he said, okay, if you try to be a judge, said, for what judgment ye judge shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So what he had prepared for Malachi ended up happening to him. So you got to be careful about how you judge people and how you treat people and what you say about people and things you wish would happen to someone before it comes. Before him saying, if this is a righteous person, before it come back to you. So he, and it upset, and it's something that didn't have to happen. He could have just ignored Mordecai. He didn't have to entertain that with Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. He could have just let it go. But because of his pride, he couldn't just let it go. And now, he in a heap of trouble. Now, it's going to be some problems with him. He wanted to kill the whole nation of the Jews. Well, let's see what's going to be taken from him. If we want to take everything from our family, let's see what's going to happen to him. So let's go into, we're going straight into chapter, let's go back to Esther, Brother Isaiah, and we're going into chapter 8.
Amen. The book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther, Mordecai's over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, and his devices that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and not be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hamathatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman and him that have hanged upon the gallows because he had laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also to the Jews as it likeneth you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 120 and 7 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders, on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, which wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish. All the power of the people, provinces, and would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey upon one day, and all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 20th month, which is the month of Adar.
Stop. In the 13th day of the 12th month is when it's supposed to happen. Well, people, it's something that a lot of people might not know, but this is very poignant. This day right here does a lot of things to most of the high holy days right here with this day right here. And we go at the end, we're going to add it up. But one thing about this is, if you take 49, which is Jubilee, or you know what I'm saying, because people know you can do it in 7 years, but you can do it in a month. And if you take 49, if you take the number 49, and I believe times 7, which is 7 Jubilees in a year, or 7 49-day periods in a year, you come up with the number 343. Well, Purim, the 13th day of the 12th month, is the 343rd day of the year. So all these things keep leading to Jubilees, but it does something else. The other thing about this, if you add 30 to this, it would be 373, or the beginning of the Feast of Passover. the Passover is start at sundown is on the 373rd day of the year. So we got to understand that. I'm saying all these things are connected. People don't want to deal with it, but this is what it is. It falls exactly the same way. This is the eve or the downing, and then the 344th day will be Passover. Just like when we go to Passover, it'll be the 374th day. Well, just showing you that this, what he's talking around here, is a month head start on Passover. But read on, brother, verse 13.
13. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on their prey. On the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of fasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested, and made it a day of fasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwell towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and fasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from the morning until a good day, that they should make them days of fasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman the son of Hammedah the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast poor, that is, the lot up to consume them, and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters, that his wicked devices, which are devised against the Jews, should return unto his own head, and that he had his sons should be hung on the gallows. Wherefore they
Stop. So now we see that his kids, he was for our nations to be killed. But guess what? It ended up being his sons are killed. But so that ended up happening to him and his sons, what was going to happen to us, he's going to kill the whole family Israel, that his own family got killed. He killed everybody in his family. But, Brother Isaiah, let's go back to 8 and 17. So we're supposed to, I don't know how we missed this, but chapter 8, verse 17, and we're going to come back right there.
Okay, so chapter 8 and just read verse 17?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's the last one. Okay, 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and fast and a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Now look. Many people became what? Jews. Many people started trying to be like us and learn our ways and do things our way because of this. So this is saying a lot of people got it. Some people have a problem. Some Israelites have a problem with Purim when he's telling them, hey, man, these people turned around and start being like us. But let's show you this in the scriptures that this is supposed to happen. I'm saying let's go into Jeremiah chapter 12 and 16. See, they're doing the true work of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be trying to convince all the people on the earth to be doing God's will, to be just like us and do the law, statutes, commandments. So how can anybody got a problem with this? This is some real great work being done by our forefather Mordecai and our sister Esther. So let's get this. Let's get this in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 16. They're only doing the job we're supposed to be doing.
Jeremiah chapter 12 and 16. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth.
So, what do you say? He said, if they, it should come to pass that they will diligently what? Learn the ways of my people. See, just like they said, they get a fear because of the fear of us, they start becoming Jews. But he's telling us here, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to get the other people to do? Learn the ways of my people. We'll read on.
The Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord.
See, at that time, King Ahasuerus put it down that if they didn't fall in line with us, guess what? There's going to be a problem with the king.
I don't think I read chapter 9. I think I picked it up at that 18.
You mean chapter 8. You didn't read most of chapter 8. We're going to still go into 9. That's why we went back and did that, because I'm saying I think you skipped some of chapter 8.
I'm sorry about that.
But we're going to go back into 9, but I just wanted you to see that. Let's go back into 9.
Amen. Chapter 9.
Chapter 9. And where did we leave off at chapter 9? Where was we our last place in chapter 9? Let's go to chapter 9 and pick it up at the let's pick it up at verse 15.
Amen. The book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 15. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000. But they had not their hands on the prey. On the thirteenth day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of fasting and gladness.
Stop. On the 13th day and on the 14th day, guess what this is lining up with, people? This is the last month of the year. Passover is the first month of the year. What we dealing with what? Passover starts at the 13th day. At sundown, which is the 14th day of sundown. But how's they doing this? They're making this line up with what? They're trying to make this line up perfectly with what? Passover. So that's why they're saying the 13th and 14th, because they're making this be exactly lined up with the Passover. But read on.
18. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day, the 14th thereof. And on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of fasting and gladness.
Now stop. Look, we got 13, 14, and 15. There go unleavened bread. So now you got the sundown with the Passover, unleavened bread. So all of this is lining up with what? All of this is lining you up to be perfectly 30 days before the Passover. We'll read on.
Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and fasting, and a good day and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. As the days were in, the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of fasting and joy, and of the sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor, and the Jews
Stop. So people, you know, people have Christmas, and they want to give gifts and all the stuff like that. And I even know some Israelites will even do that on Hanukkah, and then you got, you know, the other people that do Hanukkah, and they be doing gifts and stuff. But I say in all the Bible, in any of the feast days, this is the only time I see that you can have a gift, send somebody a gift. It says in verse 22 near the bottom, it said, and should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. So he said, you can send a gift to who? The poor. This is the only time I see in any of the feast days is talking about giving other people anything like that. But it said, give gifts to who? Give gifts to the poor. So if you just somebody that's got it in your spirit that you want something to give gifts in, if you still got that in you, here you go, and you won't be out of line. If that's something that you just got in your spirit that you want to do, you can do it. You can do it lawfully. You can do it lawfully. But when you're doing this, it says to the poor. So you should be really trying to do this to somebody that you know is in need in some kind of way. I'm saying what you should do on this, even to somebody that don't even understand what you're doing. You know what you should do? You should give them the gift and then tell them to read the book of Esther and understand why I'm giving you this gift. But we're going to continue. Verse 23.
And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked devices, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he had his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had came unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail that they should keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
Stop. So people, you got some Israelites don't want to do this, but read what it says in 28, in that these days should be remembered and kept throughout some generations. No,
throughout all generations.
Kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews. So if you're a Jew, this should not be failing from you. But I ain't telling you gotta do it. You can keep hating it if you want to. But I'm looking at my forefathers and I'm enjoying this victory we got. I'm saying I don't know about you, I don't celebrate losses, I celebrate wins. This was a win. This was a W. We won. I love celebrating wins. That's why on Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown, I'm going. Celebrate. I love victories. This my people. I'm saying I like sports, but this is my people victory parade right here. We are the champions in this. So I'm going to do that. But read on.
verse 29. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm these second letters of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, his words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fasting and their cry, and the decrees of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book.
Read on.
And the king, the book of Esther, chapter 10 and 1, verse 1. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon that land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, and they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Mordecai Persia. And Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Amen.
Okay, so that's the end of the story, but we're going to go into some other scriptures. So we got a couple more other scriptures we're going to add to this. But see, Mordecai, he ended up being, Haman was next to the king, now Mordecai next to the king. So turn the tables on him. But with that, Brother Isaiah, so people, this is the story of Purim. But as we got some matters here, let's break some things down right here, Brother Isaiah. Let's get him saying, let's go into Psalms 105 and 14. Psalms 1, see, because Haman wanted to do, I'm saying, wanted to do something, but he wasn't paying attention. But then his family ended up telling him that about mess with us. But see, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, God will be in our favor. So let's get this. Psalms 105, 14 and 15.
He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
You see that? He said, touch not. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. See, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, you ain't, I'm saying, you can't do nothing. If your walk is good, guess what? You ain't got to worry about nothing. This is what I'm saying. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's a warning to the rest of the world. Don't try that with me, because God going to deal with it if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But let's show you that this is a victory. But people, victory is in our name. If you're an Israelite, victory is in your name. Let's show you that. Brother Isaiah, let's go into Genesis 32 and 26. We already won, people. We already won.
You said 32 and 26, right?
Yep, 32 and 26.
Amen. 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed.
Stop. See that? He's telling so. He's breaking down the name Israel. He said, thy name shall be called no more, verse 28, no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast. That's past. He said, and hast prevailed. He said, you already won. So Israel, we already got the win. We already got the W. The W is already in our name. We already winners. He said, we hast prevailed. We already won. So, like I say, that's why I love winning, because winning is in my name. I'm an Israelite. I'm little Israel. Winning is in my name. But let's go to the last place, Brother Isaiah. Like saying, people, you want to deal with the people of God wrongly, it ain't going to work well for you. It's going to probably end up turning on you. So let's get this. Psalms 35 and verse 8.
Book of Psalms 35 and 8. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall.
See that? So let the destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. So, like I'm saying, that's what happened to Haman. He wanted Mordecai dead, and he wanted the Israelites dead, but he went up against the people of God. Now, we turned and fasted and did what we're supposed to do, and God listened to us and turned this whole situation around to where we destroyed him and all his family. He wanted to destroy all our family, so he got destroyed, and all his family got destroyed. So with that, people, that's the last verse and the end of the lesson. If you didn't know about Purim, if you don't understand Purim and things of that sort, that's why we went through the whole story so you can see the whole thing. So with that, people, I hope you got some understanding about the Feast of Purim and why some of us do it. So with that, people, I thank you for your time. I hand things off to Brother Joe, Sister Rhea. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
Amen, bro. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Isaiah, awesome reading.
Oh, amen. Yes. Thank you, sister.
Wow. Yeah. Brother. Yeah, great job, brother. Great job, brother. We went through the all
and
10
Brother
chapters. So, yeah,
always,
great job.
Amen.
Always.
I praise the Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Mary. Thank you. Well, any more questions, comments, testimonies?
If I can open up first, man, first and foremost, man, I just say, you know, it's all self-explanatory. I appreciate the way you broke down what fasting is, because a lot of us sleep on that. And it's actually coming a debate, man, even on the atonement, how to fast, you know. But obviously, you know, the Father is showing us how to approach him, man, and not to forget how to, and don't get sloughing and those things. You know, David didn't eat or drink while he was fasting for that baby. You know, you could have went in a lot of places, man, but I know you was in this zone right here, and we got you, man. That was a high feat. Who wanted to be Haman? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You put your hands on the wrong people, Jack. You know, you better be careful who you be dealing with. You don't know who that person is, man. They may not be, you may be a king. You may be all up the food chain. You may think you something and be honest about it, you ain't nothing on the grand scheme of things. But we all should take a pause before we put our mouth on anybody out here.
Yeah.
That's real talk. Everything. That's all of us. You know what I'm saying? But he a prime example of it. You know, so, yeah, hey, big ups on the precept, man. And, hey, man, you got to give Sister Esther, man, was smelling good for the cause, boys. He said, man, if you're going to be there, if you're going to come to the highest, babe, you got to bring the drama. You got to come with the good. So she's smelling good, looking good. She even probably tastes good. Shoot, what? You know they had, instead, 30 days of purification?
No, 12 months. 12 months of purification.
Oh, 12 months.
Yeah, she soaked in that oil. She soaked in that oil and them spices for 12 months.
Shoot.
Ooh, wait.
I was saying, her pork, that smell was coming out of her pork. Yeah, she did taste delicious.
That's what I said.
Man, she was eating and drinking. Her hands, her feet, everything about her was tender.
Well, babe, I'm going to be gone for a year.
All right.
I'm
going to
be gone.
All righty, then. All righty. Don't forget to ride.
I'm back, sugar. Come smell me. we were here from y'all for a good grip.
But
But that was a great, great, great precept. Yeah. Who want to be Haman, man? He lost his whole family and his servants, all that nonsense, man, on a drama that he proposed. You know, the Lord just, it's that wickedness that the Lord talk about, man. You roll a stone and it rolled back on you. That's exactly what happened. Oh, and one more thing before we drop this, man, before I put it down. Women, y'all better pay attention to that. You know, not giving your husband honor, that's a law. He made it a law not only to Adam and Eve, not only amongst Israel, because he gave Israel the law, but he's telling you it's an international law that every woman is supposed to honor her husband, every last one. He said throughout the planet, he put it in his heart to do that. So any woman that's dishonoring her husband is a sinner. I mean, I'm here to tell you. I don't want to hear about the dude. We, you know, this is Esther we're talking about. This is in the precept. We already heard about Haman, what he did, so we already talked about the dude. Look, take yours too. Look, if you ain't on top of this and you want to find reason to not be about this here, this, then just know you're sinning against our whole creation. And God, and the Father. He wrote a law that everything in the creation would testify against you. So you better get on your J-O-B, and that's real. So great precept, brother. I yield the mic. Oh, great reading, Isaiah, man. Amen. I know the smoke is coming out your ears and nose, brother, but you did a good job. Amen.
Oh, amen, amen. All praise to the Father. All praise.
Any more comments, testimonies, any words?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, man, take peace, man. You know? And I know, you know, definitely that whole Purim thing. I really like how you broke that thing down. You know, like, for example, it really show us, you know, even though we talk about Purim, this is a very good faith. This precept, the Purim, could even be a faith lesson. You know, it's because when you have haters or jealous or envious people or people who just despise you for no apparent reason or just simply because you got the fruit of the Spirit on you, or it could be anything, you know, watching what Mordecai did, you know what I'm saying, and Haman, even though Haman despised to do wicked, but the main things that Haman lusted after, the Lord gave it to his servant, Mordecai. You know, don't we know we do that? He do that to us? Don't we know if people despise to do wicked things to us, or even, like as the Bible said, they like to lay in their bed and just imagine of the wickedness they can do to you or plot a plan against you? Who's sitting there chilling, watching their thoughts? The Most High. So whatever they eat, it doesn't matter what they try to do. It'll never work against a servant. You know, the Lord just showed me that right now, boy. Man, the Lord is showing me that, man. You know, definitely just dealing with, you know, stuff I deal with. You know, I've been called the most lazy SOB at my job. But I got the most peace at the job. And according to everybody, I almost lost my job 4 years ago. But I still got it with a clean slate. Man can't do nothing. If they despise wicked against you, so what, so be it. Or if a woman despise wicked against you, then so what, so be it. Because at the end of the day, they're going to see God bless you, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. So to remember this day is very great. And I got to remember this holiday. I got to remember this thing. Because the book did say throughout all your generations. So in all, bro, I thought that was a very great lesson, and I'm really glad I got a chance to read it again this year. So thank you for reminding us. And, you know, we reminded of Purim, and we also reminded of faith and just how to stay strong, the whole thing, man. So to the grace of God, bro, I really did appreciate this lesson, and thank you for bringing this thing out, bro. Now you're the mic.
Thank you for the words, brother. Thank you for the words. And I'm glad you're getting more and more understanding about Purim in
understanding to appreciate the acts of our brothers and sisters. Any more questions, comments, any words, any announcements, if it isn't any more hands up?
Well, tomorrow evening, we do have the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class coming out of Peoria. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. with your brother Isaiah Brown. And what you got tomorrow, bro, if you want to share with your brother?
Oh, yeah, I'm putting it up right now. Give me 1 second. Oh, yeah, it's about time for this one. I'm tired of playing games. It's up upload right now. Okay, through the grace of God, Lord willing, we live. The name of the precept we're dealing with tomorrow is called, If We Learn to Mind Our Business, We Shall Do Well with Christ.
What? Amen.
If we learn to mind our business, we shall do well with Christ. We need to learn to mind our damn business. You know, definitely with everybody trying to be all in your thing. Like, what you doing? You know, all that kind of stuff, you know. So I think it's about time, you know, that, like, for example, like, I have a new pet peeve at my job. I stay to myself and I work. And believe it or not, this has been the most very peaceful. Peaceful is an understatement with the peace that God gave me just by shutting the hell up, worrying about myself, focusing on my own thing. Judge not, ye be not judged. You judge yourself, ye should not be judged. You do very well, and the Lord has been showing me that, you know, and it just makes things so much easier, you know. I'm not going to tell y'all nothing about the precept. Forget about it. But the name of the precept is called for tomorrow. If we learn to mind our business, we shall do well with Christ. Now you're the mic.
Well, that there is self-explanatory, Jack. You can put that on a mirror in the morning. That be one of the first things we read after we get through praying.
Yes, sir.
While you in the mirror brushing your teeth, you got that memo right there. Learn to mind your business. You can save yourself. Wow. Hey, well, that's tomorrow evening. That's tomorrow evening here at the Sounds of Living Water. You catch your brother Isaiah Brown bringing that precept at 7 o'clock p.m. coming out of Peoria to doing that. Man, all praise to
the
Father.
With the rusty razor blade and lemon juice. Come on.
Yeah, it is. And you better be careful. You get slapped up, down, back, and all the way around. Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir. But anyway, my man, he's going to be here tomorrow evening. You need to be here for that. Because I'm trying to tell you, those are the things. These are, you know, it's good to know about your abomination desolation. It's good to know about, you know, the day of the Lord and the great tribulation and Armageddon, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't
say
it. You should know about Israelite history. But those things are for your knowledge. The things that will get you in the kingdom is these sort of things, like patience, staying out of people's business, learning how to act, listening to people like Esther and Mordecai, and learning how to judge like Ahasuerus. You know, having that sort of mindset. That man was a Gentile. People sleep on him. He was a me. You know, we were still in the land before. That was Judah. We were still in the land before Ezra and Nehemiah carried us out. That was just before that. People sleep on him. We always talk about Xerxes and Darius and Nebuchadnezzar, but we don't really don't give him enough pub. Look what he did. For all praises, man, this man here trying to get into the kingdom, and I don't feel bad for praying for him, and I don't feel the reason why not to add him to the prayer base. You hear me?
With that being said, Brother Nakomi, is there any closing comments you want to share with the people before we wrap it up?
Yes. Like saying, very simple. If you look in this precept from the beginning, let all things be done decently and in order. I'm saying Queen Vashti in the beginning lost her position at queen because she got out of order with her husband. And then we saw that our nation stopped us. We canceled out being destroyed by getting in order. Queen Esther doing what her uncle said. Her uncle even doing what she said. Let's all go on a fast and let's do these things. And because we was in order, and first of all, we was in order with God, that everything worked out for us. So, people, that's a basic principle that we should say, okay, we do things decently in order, things is going to work our way. So we got to understand that. Let's love that when you do things in the right way, you do things decently in order, things will happen for you. So since everybody was in order, we got the victory through these people, and we got a great feast that we have behind it. So I hope some people got some understanding. If they didn't understand for him, hope you got some understanding about it. And with that, I'll yield the mic.
Amen.
Amen, well, amen, amen.
That's what's up, bro. Hey, get your act in order. You know, we heard that in the hood for real, right? Get your act in order. That's exactly what you just got through hearing, straight from Israelites. Get your act in order. And they show how to do it, fasting and praying. All right, well, with that being said, man, you catch your brother Nakomi Swanson here every Wednesday night at the Sound of Living Waters, man, coming out of Minneapolis, man, with the Nation of Peace. Bringing what?
The kingdom state of mind. On WGCI. I tried. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead. Don't slap me through the phone.
Man, Nakomi gonna drop kick you, man.
Oh man. Oh man, Nakomi goes way back. But we used to play hopscotch back in grammar school. What you talking about?
And he got these joints. He been trying to get ready to break in. You better be careful. but on that real though, real for real, he bringing that kingdom state of mind. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm so glad that he's allowing that brother to share these good things. And he allow us to be in the presence of wisdom and knowledge. That's, man, I continue to sit there. This is real fight by the fire. This real sitting by the fire, as we say, right? Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible,
people. Time appointed.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.